Good morning, Bridge family and all those joining us. My name is Griffin Pearson, and I want to welcome you to week 10 of our sermon series entitled Building Blocks, a study of 1 Timothy. This morning, we're going to take a deep dive into 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, and I want to encourage you to begin turning there. As you do, though, I'm curious to know if, with the new year, you've set any New Year's resolutions. For many of us, that might look like joining a gym, eating healthier, exercising more, maybe learning a new instrument. But one thing remains consistent, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but there is a certain pattern in our culture where people set New Year's resolutions but quickly fade after just a couple of months. I point this out, again, not to be a Debbie Downer, I have faith in you. But because this morning, as we look at this passage, we are going to see that Paul is giving young Timothy an exhortation and a reminder to resolve not to quit, to remember his call into ministry. And so again, as we are turning there this morning, my prayer is that just like you who have set a New Year's resolution, we would see the resolution that is to be Christ's hands and feet as an example to the world. So to recap, for those of you who may have missed last week or who may be joining us for the first time, we've learned so far that 1 Timothy is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to his young disciple Timothy. And in that, Timothy was sent by Paul as a delegate with authority to help lead and correct the church of Ephesus. Well, as young Timothy has arrived, he's already come into some issues. He's had to address false teachers. He's had to help show the church how leadership is run, who is to be appointed to leadership. And last week, what we saw was a call to be, really an understanding of who we are in Christ, the call that Christ has given us, and our job and our blessing to be his hands and feet, that we would exude Christ's likeness and it would change our actions. Well, this morning, as we're going to come and see, through verses 11 and 16, Paul begins to shift from telling us who we are to be to what we must do. And there is going to be an aspect of this that is specific to the overseer, to the pastor or the elder. But make no mistake, and I want you to stick with me, because so much of what we are going to see here this morning in God's Word applies to every Christian, to every person who says, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, he has saved me, and I am his. And so this morning, as we come to that, I've entitled this sermon, A Call to Arms. So before, and really my prayer is that as we dive in this morning, if there were one thing you were going to get, it would be that the Christian life must exemplify Jesus above all else. Again, let me just say that for you quickly. The Christian life must exemplify Jesus above all else. Again, we're going to unpack this. We're going to look back to last week and then see what Paul says this week. But make no mistake, you have a calling, and it is to represent Christ, to be an example to the world, and to show them the love of Christ. So before we dive in, would you just pray for me and for our time here together this morning? Pray with me. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to dive into your word. I thank you for the fact that you give us your word, that you show us over and over again how we can live our lives and be more like you, that you reveal to us that we have a blessing to be a part of your great plan. So God, again, get in front of me, speak, Lord, this morning, and give me clarity of speech and also our audience and both myself, Lord, ears that would listen. And so Jesus, it's in your holy name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, like I said earlier, we're going to be taking a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So read with me. It says this, "Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things. Be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Well, there's a lot here that we could unpack, but this morning I have 3 points that I want us to see and acknowledge. The first is that we are to lead with confidence. Let me say that again. Lead with confidence. We're going to see this in verses 11 and 12. The second point is that we are to live with purpose. Again, the second point is to live with purpose. This will be revealed in verses 13 and 14. And then lastly, our third point is that we are to practice what we preach. Again, let me say that again. Practice what you preach. That's from verses 15 through 16. So as we begin with point one, which is to lead with confidence, look with me at verse 11. Paul says this, command and teach these things. Okay, well, you know me. You know that we like to just take Paul at his word and what he says. And so let's unpack that. What does he say again? Command and teach these things. Well, as we saw back in chapter 1 of this letter of 1 Timothy, the word command here is a military term. It's Paul's way of saying, I am not asking you, I'm not suggesting to you, Timothy, but I am commanding, I am telling you, you must do these things. Well, what is it that Timothy must do? Well, he says, teach these things. You must command and teach these things. And so there is an understanding here that Paul is telling Timothy, listen to what I'm saying, because you're going to take it and you're going to then share it. You are then going to command and exhort others, which we know is the Church of Ephesus. Now, the word teach, it would seem pretty common sense, but for the sake of transparency, I want to give you the definition of the word teach from the Oxford Dictionary. It says this, teach is to show or explain to someone how to do something. Remember that word do, because last week we saw be, now we're going to see this week really an emphasis in do. So again, the definition for teach from the Oxford Dictionary is show or explain to someone how to do something. Okay, well, Paul's saying command this and teach this, show somebody, explain it. Okay, well, what are these things? Well, to understand these things, Paul is saying, hey, you need to tell them, you need to show them. But these things are both, it's really the gospel message. It's the good news of Jesus. And remember, Paul has told Timothy, we saw in earlier chapters of this book, he has said to Timothy, hey, the Lord has spoken to me, that, and as such, I am giving this to you, that this is God's inspired word. And it's important, though, that we understand that Paul is not just referencing the gospel in whole, but really in context here, we need to take into consideration the two verses before verse 11, verses 9 and 10. Let me read it to you, because again, this was all in one letter. And so Timothy first heard from Paul, this saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. See, what Paul is saying here is you're going to command and you're going to teach what I'm about to give you, but make sure that it's all tied back to the truth that is in Jesus. That, again, He is our Savior and He is the living God, that He is the Savior of all people. Don't forget this. Everything we do, it points back to Jesus. And so a quick way to sum that up is that Paul is emphasizing the importance of who Jesus is, who Christians are to be, which is what we looked at last week, and then this week, what Christians are to do. Again. And so one of the things as we come to verse 12, this next portion, I just want to point out to you, is that I like Paul. I like the Apostle Paul. And the reason I like him is there's a ton of reasons, but one of which is the fact that he's just a straight shooter. Paul's just the guy who calls it like he sees it. He addresses the elephant in the room. And we know that because in chapter 1 of this book, like almost immediately as he starts writing Timothy, he tells Timothy, hey, you need to address the false teachers. Before you do anything else, address the problem. Well, likewise, as we come to verse 12, we're going to see that Paul does this once again, that he's going to address both hindrances and excuses that may come up from the directions he's about to give. So again, read with me verse 12. Paul says, don't let anyone despise your youth. He's speaking to Timothy here. Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. See, the first thing that Paul addresses here is he says that age is not a legitimate hindrance to leadership, to lead, that age should not matter. Now, why does he say that? Well, we need to understand some of the context here. See, when we hear the word youth, at least in American culture, we think of a teenager. We think, man, well, youth, yeah, that's like, you know, 12 to, you know, 18 maybe. But in this context, in the culture that was, which Paul lived in and which he was writing to, youth really meant anyone who was under the age of 30 to 35. And so we don't know the exact age, but we can assume that Timothy is probably in his late 20s to early 30s. And Paul says, hey, you've done life with me for over a decade. And before that, you were brought to me by your home church because they saw in you leadership potential, because they saw in you really a life transformation, that you were being who Christ had called you to be. And so here Paul says, hey, there's a responsibility that the local church that you're speaking to needs to acknowledge, that their responsibility is not to tell you that you have to fit a certain mold, that the local church shouldn't say, well, hey, you know what, you need to be a certain age and you need to have a certain size family. But rather, if God has called you to lead, young man, you are to lead, and the church is to be receptive to that, to the person that God has called. But likewise, Paul doesn't end there. He continues on. And again, he says, but you, Timothy, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. See, Paul's also pointing out that a leader doesn't just gain respect because of a position they hold, but that a leader is a true leader because they have to earn it. They have to show, hey, what I say is what I do, and what I do is what I say. Again, it's really this concept that leaders need to reveal that they are worthy to be followed. And so Paul tells Timothy, your life, Timothy, you need to represent Christ in every every aspect of your life. And likewise, the church, despite your age, should follow because I have appointed you because God informed me to appoint you as a leader. But notice the areas in which Paul specifically shares. He outlines five aspects of Timothy's life that he should really do some introspection on, that he should grow in, that he should set an example in. Those are speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. Now, we could do an entire sermon on just these five characteristics and why it is that Paul gives it. So please hear me. We're not just skipping over this like it's nonchalant because it doesn't matter. It absolutely matters. And really, we could do an entire sermon just on this. But if we were to zoom out, and for the sake of time, what I want us to see from these five characteristics is that Paul makes clear that Timothy is not to focus in on just becoming well-polished, but he is called to grow in Christ's likeness. See, many of these attributes have nothing to do with what others would see. It has nothing to do with what would be public. Rather, it has to do with his heart. That, like Scripture tells us, what goes on in your heart, what you believe, who you are in your heart, it will overflow. It will exude out of you. And so Paul says, you need to make sure that you're the same man in private that you are in public, and vice versa. And this call is to grow in godliness. See, what Paul is getting at is that who you truly are, again, not what you show to the world when people are looking, but who you truly are, that is what really reveals your spiritual health, your spiritual maturity. It's what's not necessarily obvious to everyone else, but is obvious to God. That it goes back to this personal relationship that you have with the Lord. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, well, why is it important? Because leadership and the example that Paul is referencing, that he's saying, hey, Timothy, you're to be a leader. Hey, you're to set the example. This all just boils down to being a disciple maker. Yes, and as we'll see in the next point, there's a general revelation to all Christians, and then there's a specific calling to be an overseer that Timothy has both of. But what we need to see here is that this call to be a disciple maker requires that we don't just act and partake in religiosity, but that we truly are sold out from the inside out because of what Jesus has done in us, because we have truly surrendered all and grown in Christ-likeness. One of the ways that we could think of this would be like an annual physical exam. You know, I know some of us don't like going to the doctors, but the realization is they tell us we should. And when you have a physical exam, you don't go because you feel sick. It's not like having a head cold and you say, hey, I need some medicine. Can you just tell me what I have and, you know, prescribe what I need? No, the point of a physical exam is that even if you feel totally healthy, you're inspected because maybe you don't see something, but it could be, but there could be an issue going on inside of you. And likewise, you might not feel bad inside, but there could be something on the outside that it just requires you to take some time to check yourself, to make sure that you are actually healthy, that you're where you need to be. Well, very much in the same way, Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you need to do a physical examination on yourself, but not for the physical components, but for the spiritual components. Remember, last week we saw earlier in chapter 4, Paul says, hey, you know, don't just worry about building up your physique, because that's only helpful to a certain degree. Focus your time on building up your spiritual strength, in growing into Christ-likeness and godliness. And so this morning, I have to ask you, are you inspecting yourself? Are you listening and concerned with setting an example to others? As Paul tells Timothy, where to set an example. And most importantly, are you representing Christ, right? So because everyone's life is saying something, but are you actually pointing to Christ yourself? Does your life speak and resemble that? Well, this leads us to the next point, because like I said earlier, we know that the point is to be a disciple maker, that this isn't just for the pastor, but it's for all Christians. So if we know that, well then look at this. Let's live with some purpose, right? So look with me in verse 13 as we take a look at our second main point, which is live with purpose. See, verse 13 says this, until I come, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. See, just for context's sake, we just need to remember that Paul told Timothy, hey, stay in Ephesus. You are called to lead. I got to go away. I need to go continue on my missionary journeys, making my rounds, serving as an apostle and a leader of the early church. But you stay. And so as we come to this passage, we need to understand that again, Paul is saying to Timothy, I have intentions of coming back. And likewise, you're not necessarily called to be in Ephesus forever, but you are called to be there for this time in this place. And you are called to be there in this time, in this place, for this specific purpose, which again, is to give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. This is why I told you earlier, make sure that we remember the word do. Again, last week was to be, this week is to do. Why is that? Because Paul outlines three specific actions that Timothy is to partake in, that he is to do. It's public reading, exhortation, which is also translated to preaching, and then third, it's teaching. Now, we could do an entire sermon on this, but what I want us to zoom out and see is that the order in which Paul gives these instructions, they absolutely matter. See, a way of thinking of this is public reading is pointing to the Bible. It's pointing to God's Word. And likewise, it has to do with this letter. Paul has told Timothy in the earlier chapters, I am writing you this instruction because the Lord has given it to me to give to you. And so when Paul says, hey, devote yourself, give attention to public reading, what he is really saying is he's pointing out, follow God's direction. Tell people, make sure people hear and that they know God's directions, His character, His ways. When he says exhortation, again, that's another way of saying preaching, or the literal translation would be encouragement. This is Paul saying, after you tell everyone what God's directions are, then give man's application. Tell them how this applies to them and how they are to take what God says and apply it in their own lives. And then third, he says teach. And this is man's explanation. So again, public reading is God's directions, exhortation is man's application, and teaching is man's explanation. To just really make sure that we're clear here, because I know some may be saying, well, what's really the difference between preaching and teaching? I just want to share with you what the NASB commentary says. It says, preaching includes moral instruction that appeals to the will, whereas teaching makes an appeal to the intellect and informs the listener about the truths of the Christian faith. See, what we need to understand here is that Paul is hammering home the point that our foundation matters. See, Paul is saying it all comes back to the foundation, and this is why the order matters, because it all first must begin with God's word, with his directions, with his ways in mind. We so often flip-flop this and we say, oh, you know, hey, yeah, this is God's word here, but I thought of a really cool thing, and so I'm gonna pick pieces out of God's word and I'm gonna make it sound really cool and it'll really apply. I mean, I was an athlete. How many of us have heard, hey, you know, I can do whatever, you know, God can give me the strength to do whatever I need to do, and man, let's put that on the back of a t-shirt and boom, yeah, Philippians 4:13, man, yeah, woohoo. Well, no, we are to take God's word in context, and then after we understand that this is what God says, we are to apply it to our lives. And then Paul tells Timothy, and he's telling overseers, you are to share that in a way that people can understand. Hence the point of preaching and teaching. But what I want us to see here is that Scripture can be trusted. See, Paul wrote what we call 1 Timothy. It's the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy while Timothy was serving in Ephesus. It's where we are today. But Paul wrote 2 Timothy, which is the second letter that came at a later time to Timothy for the same purposes. And in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul tells Timothy, again, hey, your entire foundation, the basis upon which you share truth and the basis upon which you base your life, it comes back to God's word. Well, he says this in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture, again, I can't emphasize that enough, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. See, again, if we get this order that Paul gives us out of whack, we miss the whole point. The whole point, again, stems back to God's word and God's ways. This is why I said earlier, when Paul says, hey, command and teach these things, he's not only talking about what he's about to share in verses 12 through 16, but it's also the realization of verses 9 and 10 beforehand, which is that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Savior. This is why you keep hearing me say, week in and week out, are your eyes focused on Jesus? That it all comes back to Jesus. See, the power was not, and this is so important too, as we think through preaching and teaching. When Paul says it all comes back down to God's word first, he's making the realization that there's no power in what Timothy thinks, but the power stems from what God has said. We need to acknowledge that we serve a God, that we serve the Almighty God, and that we are simply vessels that he uses in order to help show other people who he is, his love, that we get to be ambassadors. Again, last week I shared with you, this is a blessing that we get to partake in. But make no mistake, we are servants. We are slaves to Christ. We represent him. This should lead into the next point, which is remembering, which really comes in verse 14. Again, we're still in main point 2, but this is the second portion of that, which is remembering our purpose. Look with me in verse 14. Paul says, don't neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. There's two things really here that Paul is saying. He's saying, one, don't neglect the gift that is in you. And two, it was given to you through prophecy. It's both the idea of a gift that you've received and it's a call. Well, the gift, and this is why I said earlier, we're going to see that everything that Timothy's being told it all applies to every it applies to every Christian, and at the same time there is some specificity which is in relation to being an overseer in particular. And so when Paul says, "Hey, this gift that's in you, this gift that was given to you," what he's referring to is the Holy Spirit. He's referring to salvation. He's referring to, again, the opportunity that we have to be God's hands and feet, that we get to do stuff that represents Christ. But then the second portion, which is more specific, when he says given through prophecy, it's the call to be an overseer. See, Timothy is saying every Christian has a calling on their life to be, and at the same time, make no mistake, there is a heavy responsibility that Timothy, you in particular, received. That this isn't about, that you weren't called to be an overseer, that you're not called to go to Ephesus and share truth because it's easy. No, you're called to go to Ephesus and to share truth because God said so. See, what I need us to understand this morning, and we cannot miss this because it is pivotal, and this is part of why the foundation is so important, is because it all stems back to Jesus. It stems back to the fact that we are called to be faithfully obedient. That the call to be a Christian requires total surrender. And Paul is hammering home here. Again, remember last week, he says, hey, there's going to be spiritual warfare. You're going to face things that you have no control over and that you're not strong enough in and of yourself to handle. But this is why you must rely on the Lord. This is why you must be. And this is now, this week, we're referring to the things that you must do. This is your call. And Paul is saying, when the chips are down, when the going gets hard, you need to rely on the call that you know you have received. And Paul said, there is a weightiness, Timothy. Like, you've been called to be an overseer. You're called to lead. You know, again, I've said this throughout this series. Paul is called to Ephesus, and there were serious issues taking place in Ephesus. When Paul sends Timothy to help correct things, to help put them back on track, that's not an easy job. He didn't say, hey, Timothy, I'm calling you to go land in a very functional church. No, he tells Timothy, I'm calling you to go and make corrections. And again, Paul is the guy who addresses the elephant in the room. The very first chapter, he tells Timothy, you need to go deal with the false teachers. You need to put them out, and you need to go and lovingly correct and rebuke, if need be, those who are listening to them. I mean, again, this is not an easy call, and this is why it is so important that you have a firm foundation. You know, nearly 15, 16 years ago, there was a missionary, and her name was Karen Watson. And Karen Watson, she's a hero, because Karen was called to go to the Middle East, specifically Iraq, and to serve there. And unfortunately, on March 15th of 2004, she was martyred for her faith. But prior to going to the field, which was Iraq, she wrote a letter, and she left it with her pastor. And she gave very strict instructions. Hey, do not open this unless I pass away, unless I'm killed in the field. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but if it does, then you are to open this letter and you are to share it with both our church family as well as my family. Now, I've had the honor of reading this letter that was handwritten by Karen, but there's a snippet in this that I want to share with you, because we need to understand, why would somebody be absolutely crazy, go to the other side of the world? And remember, context matters. 2004, this is less than 3 years after 9/11 took place. It's less than 2 years after the U.S. Armed Forces are going into Iraq, where there is active warfare. Why would a single lady be so crazy to go? And the answer is this: because she was obedient and she knew that the Lord was her foundation. Listen to this portion of her letter. Karen says, I wasn't called to a place. I was called to Him. Again, do you sense the obedience here? Do you sense her foundation? It wasn't about making things work. It was about being tied to Christ, to being obedient to Christ. But continue. Let's continue on. She says, to obey was my objective. To suffer was expected. His glory, my reward. There's no I here. There's no me here. Karen she's a modern day person. She's not somebody that we look back and go, oh, well, I can never achieve that level of righteousness. I mean, that was a disciple of Jesus. That was an apostle, man. That's a Bible person. You know how hard it is now in the 21st century? Do you know how difficult it is? Man, Griffin, you know, Paul never had to worry about a 401k or a retirement. You know, hey, preacher, get off my back. I share this with you because we see modern day heroes who many of us would never know or hear about, who they went to the craziest of places during the darkest of times and did what the world would say doesn't make any sense, but they did it because their foundation was in the Lord, because they placed their trust in the Lord, because they understood that they were called to be, and that call to be required them to do. It required them to live out, to share truth, and be an ambassador of Christ Jesus. Do we see this in our lives? Are we looking at the Lord and listening for His leading? Or are we saying, hey God, I'm willing to do what you call me to do so long as it fits in my boxes. Let me negotiate with you. Hey, God, that seems a little radical. That seems a little far out there. I don't like that. Is that us? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I've been there. That's been me. But praise God, He opened my eyes and He's taught me the lesson that that is not the call of a Christian. That you cannot be totally surrendered if you are still clinging and negotiating. No, the call of a Christian is to say, hey, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Is this who you are? Is this who we are? And again, root yourself in the foundation of God's Word. And like Paul encourages Timothy here, remember the call that you've been specifically given. For Timothy, it's to be an overseer in a hard place at a hard time. For many of us, it may be a vocation like being a nurse, a doctor, a garbage man, a banker, a police officer, a mental health specialist. It doesn't matter. Wherever the Lord has called you to go, you must go. And if the going gets tough once you're there, rest in knowing that He is the King and that He has placed you there for a purpose. Live as a missionary. Again, what is your purpose? And this leads us to the third pillar. This is where the rubber hits the road. It's, again, the third pillar was practice what you preach. And this comes from verses 15 and 16. So look with me in verse 15. Paul says, practice these things, be committed to them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Again, last week, you're called to be a light. You're called to be who you say you are. This week, you're called to do what you say you believe. You are to do what God has commanded us. Again, verse 11, command and teach these things. Explain these things. Do these things. We are to do this as Christians. And so what are these things? There are three do's, and this is true for all of us. Practice these things, he says. Well, what are these things? He's referencing everything that was just shared earlier, but it all encompasses Christ-like growth. It encompasses being an example that points others to Jesus. He says, be committed to them. Well, what does committed to them mean? It means a dedication to the call. It doesn't mean say a prayer, get out of jail, and then, okay, now I'm going to do my life now. No, he says, be dedicated, be committed to your call. Remember who called you. Remember who you serve. And be an example in that. And then third, he says, why do we do this? So your progress may be evident to all. He's not telling Timothy, and Paul's not telling us, hey, make sure, again, that you're well-polished, that you're doing the stuff, that you're following through so that people think you're really religious, that you're good to go, that you look good. No, you're called to this because you are to give God glory. That, again, remember, when we are worshiping the Lord in both our hearts and our actions, Christ is most glorified. This is why Paul is saying, hey, when I say evident to all, I'm talking about your witness. I'm talking about you being an example. Again, be this and do this. This should encompass all of who you are, and it should impact every facet of your life. But then look at verse 16, because this should both This should, for those of us who are not walking how we are called to walk, how we know we are called to walk, this should scare us. It should give us a righteous scare. I mean, we really, it just should be, man, God is giving me a wake-up call. Wow. And for those of us who are walking in step, who are being obedient, who are listening and have totally surrendered, let this be an encouragement. Look with me in verse 16. Paul closes chapter 4 by saying, pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Again, pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Again, who you are and what you do, how you explain. Remember the Oxford Dictionary definition. It's to show and to explain. It's your teaching. It's your life. It's who you are. Paul's reiterating the importance of doing that we saw in verse 11. Again, command and teach these things. He's reminding us once more again, there is an importance here that you pay attention to your life, that you don't just say, I'm a Christian, I'm rubber stamped. No, but that you are constantly, like the physical exam, you are constantly checking yourself, both in what is public and seen to everyone, as well as what is private and only known between you and God, who you truly are. And then he continues on and he says, persevere in these things. He's referencing all of the commands, all of the instruction he has shared throughout 1 Timothy. Again, specifically with what we've gone through last week and this week in chapter 4. Paul is telling Timothy, don't neglect, don't quit your calling. This is why I asked you earlier, have you set New Year's resolutions? That's why I told you earlier, this passage is Paul giving an exhortation to resolve not to quit, to resolve to be who he's called to be. That we are called to be who Christ has called us to be as Christians, as changed people, as those who have been reborn, who are ambassadors of Christ. And why do we have to pay close attention? Wow, we'll get this. And this is the part, again, this is the part that should either scare us straight or should be the greatest encouragement. He says, for in doing this, and again, paying attention to your life and your teaching and persevering in this, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul is saying that your life speaks. He's saying that your witness matters. And he's reminding Timothy and us today that everyone, that people around you are always watching. You might not think they're watching, but trust me, they're watching. And if you claim Christ, many are looking for you to slip up. Don't tarnish Christ's name. Live with an intentionality to be and do what Christ has called us to be and do. Point people to Jesus. One commentary reads it this way. It says, in the context of the pastoral letters, which would be 1 and 2 Timothy as well as Titus, this verse, verse 16, can best be interpreted by stating it negatively. So another way of saying it negatively would be, if you do not combine godliness with proper doctrine in your life, you will give the lie to your own claim of salvation and be a hindrance to others who seek to be saved. This is why it is so imperative that we inspect our lives, that we check our lives, because Paul is saying here, hey, not only are you lying to yourself, but you're setting an example that tells other people that they're good to go, that, hey, I can't be that bad because this guy said that the standard's here and I pretty much am living at the standard that he lives and at what he says, and so, hey, I'm good. Our hearts as Christians should break for this. This is why Paul says to Timothy, it's important that you pay attention to the details, that you command and you teach these things, that you start with the foundation of God's word, that you show them how this applies, that you exhort them, that you preach it, that, hey, how does God's word apply to me? And that then you teach it in a way that's understandable. Because people need to know what God's word says. They need to grow in Christ's likeness, in godliness. And that we are doing not only ourselves, but others spiritually and eternally just wrong, just a wrongdoing and a disservice when we water this down. See, and I need to be clear here because some of us may hear and say, oh, well, he says you'll save both yourself and your doers. Paul is not teaching that you're saved by works, or that I can save you or you can save me, or that if you don't repent of your sins, it's on my hands. No, but instead he is stressing the ministerial weightiness and responsibility that comes both on every Christian and especially on the overseer, on the pastor. Because he is saying, hey, because every Christian has been called to be a missionary wherever they are. This is why listening and obeying God's call in your life is so important. And you have been placed there in specifically to set the example for other people. That's what Paul is saying here. But notice here, and this is part of why Paul gives such a stern warning to Timothy in specifically, is because of what we see in James 3:1. He says, not many should become teachers, what we would call overseers, because you know that we will receive, teachers will receive a stricter judgment. That God's got a higher standard for the under-shepherd. But likewise, there's a standard for the Christians that God's going to one day hold us accountable. He's going to say, yes, you got into heaven because you are mine. You were bought with a price and you repented of your sin and trusted in me and lived in me. But make no mistake, you missed opportunities that I gave you. And my prayer from both my life as well as yours is that we will not miss opportunities. That we won't have to stand before the Lord one day and say, man, I really dropped the ball there. Lord, I am so sorry. I have experienced this. I know there are times in my life where I have been put in a place to set the example, and I have dropped the ball out of either peer pressure, out of not wanting to deal with the weightiness or the responsibility of being a light in a dark place. And my prayer is that you won't experience that, but that we will heed Paul's warning per God's word, and that we would live, again, with intentionality, that we would be and do what God has called us to be and do. When I was in the police academy, we went through trauma training on how to deal with severe trauma or injuries if we were to come to a scene or a situation where someone needed help. And there was one day in particular where my friends and I, we were kind of messing around. We felt like we were almost through the academy. We were playing around with some gauze and, you know, kind of, they said, hey, you know, patch the guy's arm as if he had a serious trauma wound. And I remember that we continued wrapping him, kind of his whole body, and made him look like a mummy and thought we were funny. And very quickly we were rebuked and reprimanded by our superiors, who said, you can't joke around right now. You have to take this training and what this instruction we're giving you very seriously, because you might think it's not a big deal now, but if you don't learn what you need to learn and you don't take this seriously and my instruction seriously now, it will come at the expense of someone else later when they need your help. Well, so much like that. This is what Paul is telling Timothy. That's what Paul is telling us. He's saying you need to command. You need to teach these instructions. You need to obey God's word. Again, what is your foundation? Because it not only applies to both your spiritual standing, it not only applies to your spiritual walk and relationship with the Lord, but it will impact directly other people who are in need. This is why every Christian must acknowledge and understand that they are called to be a missionary wherever they are. Do you view this instruction? Do you view God's word? Do you view growing in relationship with the Lord as serious and weighty? Or is it just something that you might get to when you get to it? Do you realize that what you say and do has an impact on others and matters, especially if you claim to be a Christian? See, everyone's life speaks, and so the question is, what does your life say? What would others acknowledge? Are you being the example that points people to Jesus? Or are you being the example that waters down the gospel, or even might get to the point where you actually push people away from Jesus? This is why this morning, again, I shared with you the big idea, which was that the Christian life must exemplify Jesus above all else, above our desires, above our ambitions, above our wants, but that Jesus must that we must exemplify Jesus above all else. Christian, don't neglect your call. but resolve to live on mission by exemplifying Jesus to the world. Again, this morning, my prayer is that we have seen that you are called, that you and I are called to lead with confidence. If you are a Christian, lead with the gospel. Lead with confidence as one who has been called, saved, and sent out. Live with purpose. That you've been placed in a certain place at a certain time and you've been given a call that you've been obedient to follow because God has you there for a purpose. And three, that you practice what you preach. That you would truly live out what it is you say you believe. That you would do what you know God has called you to do because you are obedient to the Lord, to who is Jesus Christ. Pray with me this morning. As we close, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for, again, for your word. And God, I pray that we would be a changed people. Lord, beginning with me, Lord, I pray that my life would exemplify you in every aspect, God. I pray that others would come to know you, not in just what I say, but in how I live. And I pray that for everyone who is hearing the sound of my voice. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity as Christians that we get to be a part of your great plan. And likewise, Lord, I pray for those who may not yet have a relationship with you who are hearing this morning, that you would move in their hearts and that they would come to see that they can have a relationship with you, that they can come to have peace, and that they can be a part of what you're doing around the world. Jesus, you are great and you are perfect, and it's in your name I pray. Amen and amen. Again, I hope you had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and until we meet again next week, love you, Bridge family. Bye.